Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks. Molly and Kim.
Hey, welcome. We hope you are having a terrific Tuesday. We are the AmeriChicks. I'm Kim Munson.
And I'm Molly Vogt.
And welcome. I've been gone for a little while. It's nice to be back. And check out our website. It's AmeriChicks.com. That's where we are on Facebook and Twitter. And all of our shows are archived there. There's a lot of great information. You might sign up to get our email updates and just a lot of great information there. Molly, I have missed you. I feel like I have hardly seen you.
I know, but doesn't absence make the heart grow fonder?
I missed you.
And while the cat's away, the mouse will play and all kinds of good stuff.
So what did you do while I was gone? Huh?
I can't tell you that, but we did have some fun and interesting guests.
I know.
Yeah, Charlene Carter did a great job sitting in with me. You know, we had her on, was it last week or the week before, talking about her lawsuit against the Southwest Airlines Union, which is really great because apparently unions think that they have the right to free speech, but the people that work there don't. So yeah. I'm glad for her for standing up for herself.
Yep.
And fighting
yep.
back against the big government bureaucracy, which is unions and the rest of them.
Well, definitely. And we are Sleuths for Truth. And that we're going to be talking a little bit about some unions here in a moment. And I think the American people are just tired of politicians and lobbyists and bureaucrats not telling them the truth. And so that is one of the things that we do is search. We're Sleuths for Truth. We educate, inspire, and engage. And we dissect these issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. And I think now more than any time, at least in my lifetime, this is so important. This battle of ideas is really, really important. And so speaking of unions, we've got a school board race down in Douglas County. And we just found out that the teachers union has tossed $300,000 towards that. The other candidates had assured everyone that there was no outside money coming in. But the most recent campaign finance reports show that $300,000 for a school board race in Douglas County. It's just astounding.
It actually is. And I like to consider this particular Dougco school board race. This school board race is going to decide school choice and religious liberty, probably for the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very important race. And you know, reason being is that we've got four people that are running for the school board that actually are pro school choice options for kids and for parents, and believe that parents should be able to choose what education, what curriculum their kids get. But that group,
if I can give you the names, it's Elevate Douglas County. It is Randy Mills, Ryan Abrish, Deb Scheffel, and Grant Nelson. And that slate, all in its entirety, needs to be elected.
Right. And the terrible thing is if they don't all four win, then the other side wins. And the unfortunate thing is the other side, when I say that, I'm not saying right versus left, but I'm saying people that believe that the government know better what to do and how to teach your kids than they think you do. I think parents should have that decision. Parents know their kids much better than anybody else does. And, you know, Randy Mills is one of the guys who's running, and I just think he's so neat. We had him on. We had his daughters on. You know, they were able to take off school and do different types of schooling so that they could compete in Little Miss Rodeo competitions when they were younger. And they both were honor roll kids, straight A students, you know, went on to college, went on to masters, doing such great things. And it's because they were able to go after their hopes and dreams and do the education that fit them best. We are individuals. We are not paper cut people. We are individuals.
Right.
You know, and we all have separate skills.
Interestingly enough, the other side is because people want choice. People want to have families that are in take part in their children's education. So the other side is saying that. But when you really look at their campaign literature, and when you also look at what they really do versus what they say, I think that the rhetoric doesn't match up with their actions. And so first and foremost, we're talking about an excellent education for our kids. And the way you do that is what you just said, Molly. Every child is unique and different. And so that a one-size, top-down approach doesn't fit for kids, it doesn't fit for teachers. And then secondly, when you look at the other side's platform, they talk about kids, they talk about teachers, and they talk about the community. They don't say a word about families and parents. So whose kids are they? Are they families and parents, or are they the school boards?
Well, I think that that's the question, and that's the question that we want to make sure that everybody asks the school board candidates. You know, who do you think should decide where my kids go to school? Who do you think should decide where the kids in the community go to school? Because people who don't have kids still have a lot to lose or gain by what happens in the school board race, because these kids are going to be our future leaders, and they're hopefully going to be leaders while I'm still alive, while you and I are still here. They're going to be making the decisions for us. We want to make sure that they're wise kids. And we're going to have Elbert Guillory on in the next segment, and he had a lot. He had a big, big fight in Louisiana against President Obama's Department of Justice, Eric Holder, who was wanting to sue Louisiana because of their school voucher program, because of the program, just like Doug Coe put into place, to allow some tax dollars to go to 500 families, I believe, to allow these kids' parents to choose what school they go to. And, you know, choice shouldn't be threatening. If you're doing your job and your school is the best and your teachers are the best and you're really doing a good job, you shouldn't be threatened by competition.
Right.
Competition sharpens all swords. And so why is it so bad? Why do the unions care so much? Why are the unions giving so much? How much did you say the unions gave?
Okay, I'm glad that you asked that question, because I would recommend to our listeners to go to a website. It's called Open Secrets, and put in heavy hitters. And I have this for all cycles since 1990. And this is the different organizations and people that have given to liberals, conservatives, and the contributions. So the number one contributor is a union. Mm-hmm. It is the SEIU, and it has given, it had $279 million. That's million in contributions, and they gave $277 million to Democrats.
Well, where do unions get their money, Kimmy?
They take it from their union members. Mm-hmm. And some people are forced to pay.
So from the teachers.
Yes. And some people are forced to pay dues, even though they don't really want to be in the union. And what's interesting, and I think Charlene mentioned this regarding the flight attendants union that mm-hmm. she was in.
Southwest Airlines.
Right. That she could say, I don't want any of my union money to go to political campaigns. Mm-hmm. And so they said that it doesn't really, but that's all fungible. But out of the top 10, number three on the list is the National Education Association, which is the NEA, which is a teachers union. And they gave $121 million, they raised $120 million and gave that in contributions. $117 million of that went to Democrats. And think of all the pencils and paper that you could buy for $117 million. Think of the amount of pay that you could give to teachers. But then number six on this list is the American Federation of Teachers. $107 million in contributions and $106 million went to Democrats. This isn't about teaching kids.
No, this is about power. And this is about taking money from teachers without them voluntarily giving. If a teacher wants to give towards a particular political cause because he thinks that that's going to help her family, her life, her kids, her job, then she should be able to do so. But being forced to give money to something that's going to a political cause that you don't believe in is just wrong. I think that's against the First Amendment.
Well, I think it is too.
And you know what, Kimmy? When I get mad that big lobbyists go and they go to Congress and they're spending their big money to get a congressman to vote one way or another against what they told me they were going to do, but at least those silly, ridiculous corporations and industries aren't stealing my money and giving it that way. It's money that I must have gone ahead and paid voluntarily something for. You know, the big cigarette mm-hmm. companies, the medical companies, what have you. They're bad guys. I don't like what they're doing with the money, but they're not stealing it from me. Unions, I think, are basically stealing from the teachers by force and then giving that money to political causes that actually hurt the teachers.
And Molly, to my understanding, a lot of this union money doesn't fall under the same campaign finance laws as for individuals or for corporations. So while we would have limits for, like in Colorado, we have very low limits on what you can contribute to some of the campaigns, which I think is wrong because I think being able to contribute is like free speech. However, somehow they carved out unions and they don't have to play by those rules. And carve I think outs. Americans are waking up.
Carve outs. I'm over the carve outs.
But this, as you mentioned, this school board race is so important. And I really encourage people to get engaged. Make sure that you vote. Vote for Randy Mills, Ryan Abrish, Deb Scheffel, and Grant Nelson. Because, like you say, this is going to affect education in America for a generation.
Mm-hmm. So really, this entire school board race in Doug Coe is going to determine school choice and religious liberty for our country. So vote. Go look for Douglas. Elevate Douglas County.
That's their website.
Yeah. So we are going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to have Elbert Guillory on. And it's going to be kind of a little bit of a continuation of this discussion. And then we'll get to some other topics. But he also went up against big government, big bureaucrats that were trying to take away school choice. And you know what? Kids with parents of means that live in good, wealthy communities probably have an education system or a school that may be okay. But there are people that are being forced to live in areas maybe with less means that are stuck. They are stuck with their kids in possibly schools that aren't the best for them. Why shouldn't all parents have choice? Why should it be determined based on their income level or their zip code? Let's give everybody a choice. That's what we're talking about today. No carve-outs. Everybody should be the same. We're the AmeriChicks.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts, Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment. And since these loans are government insured, limited closing fees. Active duty military, reserves, National Guard, retired military, and surviving spouses may qualify. Give Kim Sturtz or Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance a call today at 303-888-2732. Or check them out on the AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com. Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507. In America, we stand on the shoulders of giants. Benjamin Franklin and other founding fathers handed us a republic and challenged us to keep it. The challenge remains today, more than 240 years later. The AmeriChicks invite you to call in every weekday afternoon at 5 p.m. to sort through the smoke and mirrors to discuss government policies as right versus wrong rather than right versus left. Denver's only female-hosted call-in talk show on your drive home. The AmeriChicks, Kim Monson and Molly Vogt, sponsored by Yanni's in the Landmark for the best lamb chops in town. Weekday afternoons at 5 on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
It's time. October is here, and the scary features are hitting the screen. Please join the historic 88 Drive-In Theater and be sure to bring someone to hold on to for their upcoming triple features. Admission at 88 Drive-In Theater is only $8 per person, and children under 12 are free. Your admission includes all features. Stay for one or all three. New fall box office hours are 6 p.m. Friday and Saturday and 6:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday. To stay up to date on movie showings and times, go to 88drivein.net and like the 88 Drive-In on Facebook. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChick sent you.
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. And be sure and check out our website, AmeriChicks.com. There's all kinds of great information there. And that's where we are on Facebook and Twitter, AmeriChicks. So check it all out. Molly, 88 Drive-In. Right now, the movies they're showing is Lego Ninjago Movie, Blade Runner, and It. And then this Friday, they're going to mix it up a little bit. They're going to do Blade Runner, Flatliners, and then American Made. And so that'll be starting on Friday, and it's going to be a beautiful weekend. So get out to the 88 Drive-In Theater. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah, get some of that hot cider.
You got it. So, hey, we have on the line with us one of our favorite guests, and that is Elbert Guillory. He was a former Louisiana state senator, and in 2013, he made national headlines when he switched his party affiliation from Democrat to Republican. And in doing so, he became the first Republican of African-American descent to serve in the Louisiana Senate since Reconstruction. Watched a bunch of his videos as we were preparing for this show today. And I mean, he's just so insightful and such an eloquent speaker. It's great to have you here, with us, Albert.
Albert.
Hello, ladies. How are you?
We're good.
Both Kim and Molly, I am their biggest fan. They are the most incredible combination of intellect and commitment, patriotism and beauty. I am honored to be with you.
Albert, the check is in the mail. You know we feel exactly the same. We love you. You've been stirring it up in Louisiana, huh?
A little bit. That's my job these days. The Lord has told me to deliver a message of godliness and patriotism, and I am trying to do that.
You know, Albert, since we last visited, things have changed in America. You know, there was some division, but things have really changed. What do you think's going on?
I think that the charlatans, the political charlatans, are attempting to divide us. They're using several techniques, trying to pit white against black against brown, that whole thing. And there are people, you know, Booker T. Washington in 1911 said that there's a group of colored people who don't want to give up their problems because that group can make money off of that. And we still have those people, the Jesse Jacksons, the Al Sharptons, who like to stir up mess and division.
You know, Albert, it's heartbreaking to me because as we look at, we're going to talk a little bit about education across the spectrum here in America, but the idea that we are spending so much on education and we have kids that can't read and write and do arithmetic, I think is very close to a real crime.
I absolutely agree. More than half of American children cannot read, write, or compute at grade level. And in urban schools and black schools, the schools that have a substantial number of black students, that figure is well beyond 70%. It is a crime. It is an absolute crime.
Because it's taking away their future. It's taking away the ability to go after their hopes and dreams. And why? Why would we let this happen in America? Why?
Well, I'll give you one perfect example. You know, here in Louisiana, we came up with school choice. We had several options, and one of those options was a voucher program. 10,000 vouchers, 10,000 of the poorest Louisianans, 100% poor, 90% minority. And guess who came to kill the voucher program? The pea-brained bozos of the Obama administration. These minstrel morons masquerading in blackface, I'm talking about Obama and Holder, came to Louisiana on behalf of the teachers' unions to destroy that voucher program, which has survived and still exists, but we had to do some serious battling to get the feds out of our Louisiana voucher system.
Mm-hmm. So, Albert Guillory, do you mind explaining to everybody what was the case they were making? How are they framing the argument, Obama and Eric Holder of the Department of Justice, that why they didn't want kids to have the opportunity to get out of the inner city schools and go to schools that their parents chose?
Do you want me to tell you why they did it or why they said that they did it?
Let's do both, because we've got a big race here in Colorado right now in Douglas County where they are framing it, I believe, the same way that you're going to describe. But I'd rather hear it from you first, and then we'll tell the truth.
These morons said that by transferring students from these public schools into private schools, charter schools, any other place that they were going, was destroying, it was creating a racial imbalance, was segregating our schools. And therefore, these little children, 9,000 little black children, should leave these good schools, these high-performing schools that their parents had found for them and placed them in, and transfer them back into Louisiana's worst-performing, most violent, least productive schools. That's what they said. What they really were doing was they are minions, they are cronies of the teachers' unions, and that's what it was all about, paying off campaign debts to teachers' unions.
Albert, we, as Molly alluded to, we're talking with Albert Guillory, who is a former state senator in Louisiana, and he has a real heart for America. He has a real heart for our kids, in particular, black children that are caught in underperforming schools. And we have a big, big school board race going on in the county that I live in Douglas County. And we just found out from campaign finance reports that the teachers union, I think based back in Washington, D.C., has dumped $300,000 into the school board race. And I submit to you that the reason is because on this, you know, some of the issues, are you familiar with the Blaine Amendment at all?
No.
Okay.
No, tell me.
The Blaine Amendment was an amendment that was put into well over 30 different state constitutions back in the 1800s.
Oh, yes, 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 I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
And it was put in place because this Mr. Blaine wanted to run for president, and he wanted to try to get the anti-Catholic vote. And so this amendment is basically based on discrimination against Catholics. And it has been used to try to prevent vouchers all over the country in saying that we don't want vouchers to be used, or we don't want public money to go to private religious organizations. But I think it's important for listeners to understand that what a real voucher program or a scholarship program does is it gives this scholarship to a family, and then the family has the option to choose where they want to put that money. But the teachers' unions and all those on the far left say, no, 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 we don't want families to have that choice.
You're absolutely right. My hometown of Opelousas, Louisiana, is the perfect example. Every school in Opelousas is a failing school except three. I mean, there are about 20 schools. Every one of them is an F school except three. Two of them are, one is a Catholic school, one is a Protestant Christian school, and one is a public school that has some very special circumstances surrounding it. And all three of them are eligible for vouchers, and students have transferred into those three schools from some of Louisiana's worst, rattiest, most violent schools. And these are the schools that these bozos want to force children out of, these good schools, and back into these ratty schools that that they've come from already.
Now, it seems like instead of pushing kids back to ratty schools, as you mentioned, that we would want to try to emulate the success of these other schools for these children. I don't for one minute believe, Albert, that a child can't learn. I think that the sky is the limit for every child. And I don't believe that some can learn. I guess that some can't learn. And sometimes I kind of hear that. People say, oh, it's their culture, their background, you know, where they're living, and they can't learn. And I don't believe that.
I don't either. My sister, our grandfather was a slave. We went through the education. We were dirt poor, rural Louisiana, backwoods, out in the bayous. She is a teacher on Baylor's medical faculty. I was a law professor at Rutgers.
Wow.
If we can do it coming from that kind of background, then anybody can.
Well, victimhood has been selling, though, in all of these, in part of our education system. Let me make one point, and that is regarding these scholarship programs or vouchers. You hear the argument that no public money should go to potentially a religious organization, but it happens all the time. The GI Bill, when our vets come back and they go to college, they get to choose. And it can be a religious school, or it can be, a non-religious school, or Pell Grants. We have college students that can decide where they want to go. So it's really an argument that has no real merit to it, except they're using it to try to keep kids controlled by a top-down approach.
You know, in 50 years of politics, and I've been in politics for 50 years, follow the dollars. If you follow the dollars, you will see what is taking place. And the $300,000 from Washington, D.C. into Douglas County to make sure that no voucher program exists, that's following the dollars. And it shows you exactly what this is about. It's not about educating children. It's about keeping teachers' unions in control of education.
Right. And, the other thing that I find interesting sometimes is many of the people, for example, you mentioned President Obama, Eric Holder. My understanding is that President Obama sent his children to private school, not to the public schools in Washington, D.C. And I think that that's very telling.
That is one of the things that makes me most upset about this. This duplicitous, two-faced man fighting to keep little poor kids in the worst American schools at the same time that he was sending his two daughters to the best private schools that money could buy, the single most expensive private school in Washington, D.C. Duplicity, two-faced minstrel.
Well, carve-outs, Elbert Guillory, seem to be everywhere with the government. You were talking yesterday about the carve-outs in the health care. You know, if Congress, I think if they didn't write themselves a carve-out from this terrible PPACA that is the most unaffordable health care program, with everybody I know seems to be losing their doctor, waiting in lines, higher premiums to get in, then we've also got the bureaucrats and the politicians that are carving out, and they want everybody to be stuck in the government public schools, but not their kids. No, no, no. And then we get to the Second Amendment, and you see what happened in Vegas. And there's more and more calls for people to get rid of their guns. You know what? Politicians aren't getting rid of their bodyguards that are surrounding them. Are they carving themselves out of that too? Elbert Guillory, stick with us through the break. When we come back, I would love to chat with you about a solution that you put on your Facebook page about how we can change the culture of violence that we find ourselves in. Stick with us. We're the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. We'll be right back.
Dude, I need help. How can I perfect my golf swing and keep my promise to put in a whole new kitchen by next month?
No worries. Call Rafe and Colin at Harmony Ridge Construction. They've been doing this for 40 years all over the globe. Trust me, they'll make you look like a genius, and you'll have more time to perfect that golf swing. You really need to work on that.
Great. I'll give Harmony Ridge Construction a call today. What's their number?
720-660-0265. Or visit them online at harmonyridgeconstruction.com. They're best for any small fix or large remodel. They'll help you out.
Guy Whidden, 101st Airborne, landed Normandy in the dark on D-Day 1944, was knocked out on the jump, woke up, a gun to his head. What happened next? If you love the AmeriChicks World War II Project on Fridays and know a World War II vet, we'd love to share their story. We're in a race against time to gather as many stories as possible and as quickly as possible to preserve them for all future generations. So if you know a World War II vet or have that great World War II story to share, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com.
And now, the Lens of Liberty. Here is Helen Kriebel.
There have been many news stories about one mayor's drive to ban large soft drinks, and nearly everyone thought the effort was a classic case of government overreach. I've never bought a big gulp soda, but I cherish my right to do so. We all understand the dangers of too much sugar in our diets, but most people know government has more important things to worry about than the size of our sodas. If we look through the lens of liberty, we might realize this is really not much different than the government determining how our hamburgers must be cooked or what kind of light bulbs we must buy. In America, we believe in taking responsibility for our own actions and providing for our own happiness. Sometimes we need to remind politicians to take care of important government business and let us take care of our own business.
For more information, go to lensofliberty.org. That's lensofliberty.org.
Hey, this is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. You know, we've been talking a lot about carve-outs. I don't like that the government carves out all the good stuff for themselves and leaves all the crud behind for us. So I'm excited to tell you that there is something that is here for everybody. It helps absolutely everybody, and they're hiring veterans.
Yay.
So you got to check them out. EvanYourITGuy.com. Bill Imony has started this group. It's a network of IT professionals, and they are there to answer your phone call 24/7 with any problem with your computer, hardware, software, external drives, memory. You got that little spinny Mac thing like I have all the time. Kim, you're probably fine now. You got a new computer. It's my turn. But there's always a time when you need help, and I can't figure out what to do or who to call. EvanYourITGuy.com. They are the guys for you, and the dollar amount that they are charging you goes down the longer you're on the phone with them. So they are incentivized to get you off the phone and fix your needs. So you want to get on their list. Do that by also signing up for a free webcam cover. Go to EvanYourITGuy.com. Under Discover, you'll see free webcam cover. Click it, give them your address, mention the AmeriChicks, and they'll send you a free webcam cover, and then you're on their website.
You'll never forget.
So welcome back. So this is Molly and Kim, and we are talking with Elbert Guillory, former Louisiana state senator, but he has had a career as a professor, government lawyer, legislator, courtroom advocate. He's spent 50 years in politics, an amazing, amazing man. And Elbert, I just want everybody to check out his website, ElbertGuillory.com, and follow him on Facebook. Because, Elbert, you're doing all kinds of really cool videos, and you're tackling really tough issues.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
Thanks
it.
And they're short.
Have a lot of fun.
Yeah. Short. I mean, you get a lot of information in there, and you really have people put their thinking cap on these issues. So yep. We would highly recommend it. It's ElbertGuillory.com.
ElbertGuillory.com. And so, Elbert, so before we were talking about in the last segment, you started to allude to, you know, really just the victimhood and that, you know, our government, for some reason, always seems to be pushing victimhood and they need it. Big government needs an oppressor and oppressee. They need for us to be divided. They need for people to have somebody to blame so that they are held down rather than lifting up and doing, you know, we all can do anything that we put our minds to if we just get up and try. You said you yourself, you know, you're an amazing example. I mean, so many people could be victims today. And just not get up and not go to work and not do anything, but we do it. And so you mentioned, Elbert Guillory, on Facebook, you have a solution to the violence that we're seeing in America today. And you said we should change the culture. What are your suggestions?
Well, if you take a look, if you go back 50 years, and I can remember 50 years ago, pornography, profanity, violence were illegal. You could not have music played over the public airwaves using the calling women the B word, the W word. When we permitted these things to become legal, profanity is now legal, pornography is now legal, violence is now legal, using any kind of language is now legal. By legalizing all of that, we have created a culture of violence. What happens is, normally a person will have a two-year-old, no daddy in the house, mom is frazzled, she puts the kid down in front of a television set, gives him a violent video game to play, and he does that for 10 years. Then you have a 12-year-old who is violent, who is disrespectful, his attitudes toward women are terrible, and which has led to a dramatic increase in domestic violence, for example. That garbage, that poison that we are putting into our children, teaching them the thug life and glorifying it, teaching them violence and hypersexuality, those things have created a culture of violence. And if we turn back the clock 50 years and remove the poison that we're putting into kids, destroy the culture of violence, then we will start seeing a lot of crime going down. We had many, many, many guns 50 years ago, but we weren't shooting each other. Today, if you take away all of the guns, the culture of violence will remain, and people will kill each other with sticks and stones, with bricks and branches, bows and arrows.
Rent a cars.
You know, Albert, I, as you're talking about this, it also seems to coincide with the valuing of life. I think all these things all kind of happened at the same time. I think they're an outcropping of a push to devalue life, to devalue striving for higher ideals. I can remember as a kid that it was kind of sometimes when you talked about lofty ideas, that people would kind of make fun of that. And now you see like the American idea. When we talk about America, the American idea that it's exceptional, it's not because of it's a pride thing. It's because this idea that the individual should be able to go after their hopes and dreams, that's what makes it very exceptional. But when we've said that, there's been pushback that that's wrong.
Only from a group of leftist elites. I believe that most Americans still believe that this is the land of opportunity, the land of freedom and liberty. And I've traveled all over the world, and I've been in many, many countries. This is the only place that I would want to live. And it is because of America as a beacon of freedom of opportunity that so many people from all over the world, they want to get here. They are trying to come here. But is this group of leftist elites who want to push forth the idea that we were founded on terrible ideas and ideals, and we've never lived up to perfection. And they are a bunch of naysayers that just need to shut up and let the rest of us really need to reclaim the argument, reclaim the airwaves.
Well, and we're working on that. I feel a real hope. I see that people are tired of being lied to. I think people are getting tired of this push on the victimhood. We are seeing it in schools across the metro area on this whole social justice, diversity, Black Lives Matter. We are seeing that in the suburban schools as well as the urban schools. And I think that in education, we need to be working towards high ideals. I mean, when you have the choice between an author of Black Lives Matter or Shakespeare, which one is going to help a kid, you know, start to think about higher ideals? And I think that there's a push to get to that. And that's why I think the teachers unions are in this Douglas County School Board race big time.
Yes. You had a problem. Perfect example in Cherry Creek, Colorado, where a teacher is alleged, I wasn't there, but one of the parents says, kid came home and says, Ms. So-and-so says that we don't have to stand for the pledge because that means that we would show support for Trump. To teach that to little American children is an absolute crime. I mean, that person should be put in jail for that.
Yeah.
This is, of course, free speech, but in opposition to free speech, there's the responsibility to teach our children. And if we teach them un-American and irresponsible concepts and ideas and ideals, then we've crossed the line. And that teacher crossed the line. She lost her free speech rights when she started to teach irresponsible concepts to children.
And there should be consequences, Albert Guillory, for people who say such terrible things and who teach the wrong things. And if you have school choice and parents actually have the idea they can pick where they want to send their kids, I think that teachers will be more responsible and you know, think about what they're saying before they say it, because they could be fired from other schools. But it's not easy to get fired from a government school, I don't think, is it?
That's correct. And that's a big part of what the teachers' unions want. Absolute tenure for every teacher, so that once a teacher has taught for a year, then they can never, ever be fired for any reason. So they can be as irresponsible as they want to be in the classroom, which you could not do in any other profession in America.
Right.
there is accountability in every profession, no matter if you're digging a ditch or if you're a college professor. And I've been both, so I know there's accountability. But the teachers' unions want no accountability. They want tenure.
Yeah. If anyone should be scored and judged on their merit, it's definitely our teachers and surgeons, I think, right? I want people to be able to get paid for the great jobs that they do. And those are two groups that's very, very important, because you're trusting your kids to those teachers when you drop them off at school, and you don't want to be dropping them off to just anybody. This is the AmeriChicks. Molly and Kim are on the phone with Elbert Guillory. Stick with us. We're going to go to break and come back. We're talking about solutions to the culture that we find ourselves in today. This is the AmeriChicks.
In America, we stand on the shoulders of giants. Benjamin Franklin and other founding fathers handed us a republic and challenged us to keep it. The challenge remains today, more than 240 years later. The AmeriChicks invite you to call in every weekday afternoon at 5 p.m. to sort through the smoke and mirrors, to discuss government policies as right versus wrong rather than right versus left. Denver's only female-hosted call-in talk show on your drive home. The AmeriChicks, Kim Monson and Molly Vogt, sponsored by Yanni's in the Landmark for the best lamb chops in town. Weekday afternoons at 5 on KDMT, Denver. Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing from the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, chances are your future clients do too. Let us help you promote your business and fatten up your wallet. To feature your business on the AmeriChicks program, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. We feature the most topical news and intriguing guests every weekday during afternoon drive time, 5 to 6 p.m., while you and your clients are enjoying the program on your way home from work. So become a sponsor today by emailing the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com. Or visit us online at AmeriChicks.com.
Today you need to have a great online and social media presence, and the best in the biz is Desi On Demand. The AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, personally work with Brandon, the founder of Desi On Demand. Desi On Demand is instrumental with our video projects, Chick Chat, Eggs, Exceptional Endeavors, and our World War II project. We most heartily endorse his creativity, innovation, dedication, and integrity. Brandon and his team bring all that to the table. Check out Desi On Demand's website at mydesi.com or call 303-359-1522 for more info, and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McCallum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Monson. And you know, Molly, if you're concerned, listeners, and perplexed about the events that are happening in America today, where can you go for answers? Well, check out the Centennial Institute at Colorado Christian University. The Centennial Institute sponsors research, events, and publications so that you can understand the most important issues facing our state and nation. By proclaiming the truth, they foster faith, family, and freedom. They teach citizenship, and they renew the spirit of 1776. So check out their website at ccu.edu to read their latest publications and find a schedule of upcoming events. That's ccu.edu. And let's get back to Elbert Guillory.
Senator Elbert Guillory from Louisiana. He has spent 50 years in politics. He's been a professor, government lawyer, state legislator, courtroom advocate. He's all over Facebook. Check out ElbertGuillory.com and look at his videos. He just makes so much sense. Elbert, thanks for sticking with us another segment. We just never get you long enough.
Thank you very much for having me. It is truly an honor.
So we were talking about changing the culture. You know, it's not the gun that kills people. You know, if there weren't guns, the point you made in the last segment is it doesn't matter. People would use, you know, bow and arrow, knives, their fist, cars, whatever. You know, it's happening all over the place. Bombs and trains. I mean, these things are happening all over the place. It's not just the gun. It's the person that's using it that has decided to do that. And you kind of pointed out, you know, a scenario in which, you know, the very busy parent comes home, and rather than taking the time to spend with their children, they put them in front of the TV. They give them a video game where they're, you know, maybe they're shooting at things. Who knows what it is? But they're watching TV and they're getting different ideas put in their head other than what their parents probably should be putting in their head. And I want to talk about solutions. You know, I saw one of your Facebook videos. You were talking about the solution for the NFL. We need leaders. You said, and I'm not going to tell what you told because I'm going to let you tell your solution of what you think they should do. But everybody knows today the NFL, a group of owners and players met at the league's headquarters this morning. They were discussing how can they enhance the players' platforms for speaking out on social issues, but at the same time respect the league's policy that says players should be standing for the national anthem. What solutions do you have, Albert Guillory?
You know, I spoke with a Native American gentleman a couple of weeks ago, and he said that these are his exact words, the woolly bullies speak with forked tongue. And he gave two examples. The first, which is the lesser, I believe, of the two important ones here, he said that they would never permit anyone to have a team called the San Diego Dagos or the Kansas City Kikes or the New Orleans Migs. Yet they play for a team called the Washington Redskins. So they are not seriously concerned about social justice. The second thing is that they model themselves, they present themselves as thugs. If they really wanted to make a difference, they would pool their money, pool their volunteer hours, and they would mentor the boys in their own communities, teaching them to be men and not thugs, teaching them to behave themselves, to respect, to speak English properly, because all of these fellows are supposedly college men. Although listening to their interviews, one would wonder whether they are, how they could get out of college with speaking at a sixth grade level. But that aside, they need to make sure that children in their communities respect education and respect authority. If they want to prevent negative interactions between police and young black men, they should teach the young black men to follow the orders of the police, because 98% of all of these police shootings start with, I'm not saying that anyone is justified or anything of that sort, but those events start with someone disobeying a police order. If they obey and choose to challenge later, it's much easier to challenge from the courthouse than from the graveyard.
Right. And you said something so important, and that is respect. We are just losing respect and acting with good manners in America. I remember, again, as a kid, I mean, we learned, you know, what good manners look like in school. And I think that a part of it might be from the feminist movement. I mean, I remember that, you know, women would walk through a door and a guy would open the door for her and she would not say thank you and, in fact, berate him. And there's nothing good that happens when that interaction goes like that.
That's absolutely correct. When you lose respect for women, domestic violence goes up, and that is exactly what has happened in America.
Well, and I think also you're alluding to something, and it's not just black children. I think that it's all young boys. I really feel, Albert, that we have been marginalizing our young boys for a long time in America. And again, I think it's an outcropping of the feminist movement. And we hadn't really mentioned that we talk about this, but I'm very troubled that the Boy Scouts are now going to be required to have little girls in the Boy Scouts. I really think that there's merit in having the sexes realize that there are some differences.
Absolutely. Every primitive society, in every primitive society, the men, when boys get to be around 11 or 12 years old, the men take them away, take them out someplace, and teach them about what is expected of a man, what their role is in society, how they should be leaders and protectors of their community. America's, you can't even go and be a Boy Scout now. where men take boys out and teach them to be men. This is absolutely crazy. I mean, we have lost it.
Albert Gillery, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I like what you're saying about the solution, though, for NFL members to be leaders, to pool their money, to go out and to be with the kids and to teach them to respect education and authority. Because one thing that they're going to have to respect is education. Like you said, you've got to have a college degree to play in the NFL. So you're going to have to get that degree. You're going to have to study. And I think teamwork, working together, you know, to be good on a team and competing, I think is so good for men and for women, but just to get that self-esteem going and to learn how to be a good winner and a good loser. And then also, you know, authority. I mean, if you're playing on a team, you've got a coach, you've got a captain, and you're going to have to play by the rules. And I think that, you know, like you said, if maybe it's a single parent thing, maybe the parents are together, but none of them have time for the kids. And maybe it's a lack of tough love. Maybe there are too many parents that want to be the best friend of their kids, so they don't, you know, they don't scold them and they don't teach them. I don't remember where it was in the Bible, but I remember them, you know, talking about if you don't face your father's whippings now, you're going to face the executioner later. I mean, learn while you're young. I love your ideas.
But it's absolutely right out of the Bible. You are absolutely correct. Spare the rod and you spoil the child. And if you rear a child, particularly in today's world, and that child does not respect authority at home, doesn't respect the parents, doesn't respect the teacher and principal at school, doesn't respect the police officer, then that child has a very high probability of winding up either dead on a sidewalk or in somebody's prison. And if these guys, like the Native Americans said, they speak with forked tongue, they want to make a big show, a big production on Sundays. But on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays and Saturdays, they don't do anything to help raise the level of respect and education in their own communities. And that's what they need to be doing.
Well, and a perfect example is Chicago. You know, when we hear the number of deaths, like each week in there, which is it's a gun-free city, and you know, many times it's black-on-black crime. You know, where is the outrage for what's going on in Chicago? There has got to be an outrage, and I think it goes a lot to the education system, and to the breakdown of the family, dependence, and we've got to change these things. And I really find great hope in President Trump. He looks to me like he's trying to get this thing, this ship righted, and to get this thing turned around.
I believe that with people like the Americhicks and President Trump getting the word out and demanding that we make common sense choices in America, that we do teach children respect and proper behavior, that we have men who return to becoming fathers. 3/4 of all black children are born out of wedlock. More than half of white children born out of wedlock. It is a problem across America, although the people who are in the NFL who are making these protests or particularly black players, and they need to look in the mirror and do something for their own communities first.
Well, we agree, and couldn't have said it better, Albert Gillery. We need to lead by example, and this is a time to change our culture. And the only way we can do it is we keep searching for truth, and then we have the guts to do like you're doing on albertgillery.com and on your Facebook as well, to keep talking common sense to people. Thank you so much for your time, as usual, Senator Albert Gillery. We love you to death.
I love you.
All right. We'll talk to you later then.
Okay. Well, Molly, it's great to be back. I love talking with Albert Gillery. And I was going through several different Booker T. Washington quotes. And there is one here. He said that among a large class, there seemed to be a dependence upon the government for every conceivable thing. The members of this class had little ambition to create a position for themselves, but wanted the federal officials to create one for them. How many times I wished then and have often wished since that by some power of magic, I might remove the great bulk of these people into the country districts and plant them upon the soil, upon the solid and never deceptive foundation of Mother Nature, where all nations and races that have ever succeeded have gotten their start, a start that at first may be slow and toilsome, but one that nevertheless is real. And then he also said one other one that I just loved. Let me find it here. Great men cultivate love, and only little men cherish a spirit of hatred. Assistance given to the weak makes the one who gives it strong. Oppression of the unfortunate makes one weak. And that's Booker T. Washington. And in his comments, Up From Slavery.
This is the AmeriChicks signing off. Y'all have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 5 p.m., right here on KDMT.